Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
All those tries in the first.
Try time.
The final whistle taken on by Fisher. Wilson. Burrell, North.
Yes, George. Easy. Yes, easy. George. Get him off now. He doesn't need to be playing at Kingston Park.
As you can hear, we're just about to record the podcast. Welcome to the podcast. This is the podcast. But we're also watching the final few minutes of Newcastle Northampton, and George North has just run in the bonus point try. We'll keep our eyes on that at the end of that game, boys, but we're going to have to get on with some business because there's so much to talk about in terms of rugby. So eyes down, hands in on three pod. One, two, three, pod! Genuinely don't know where to start with this week's podcast. I'll just start by saying who we are and what we are. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. We don't take ourselves or the game too seriously. We just love rugby. I'm Tim. He's JB.
Good afternoon, Tim.
He is Phil.
Hi, Tim.
JB's brought along his Welsh brethren just to bump up the numbers and make it 50% split. And also, I think this has got something to do with the fact that some people were questioning whether you were really Welsh on Twitter this last week.
Well, I'm really North Walian. I don't really care much for the South Walians.
Anyway, Pedder's hanging around in the studio today.
Hello.
So you are completely Welsh.
My dad is English. He comes from Stoke-on-Trent, but I was born in Wales, brought up in Wales, and lived all my life in Wales.
You did at one stage, quite recently, discuss renouncing your Welshness.
I did, and this came because I went home and I pulled into the McDonald's and I asked for burger and chips or whatever it was, and then he said, "Do you want a bag with that?" I said, "Yeah, please." I like a bag. That's 2 pence Welsh law. And I thought, until Wales gets their politics sorted out and the house in order, I want no more to do with it. So tin pot.
Is it 5p?
Is it 5 pence? It's so tin pot. I mean, what is the point? So I thought, until they've got it all sorted, I'm not interested.
but let's go from Wales to north of the border. There was a big vote this last week, wasn't there? And that's just politics, nothing to do with rugby. But with Scotland deciding to stay with the Union and stick with England, Wales and Northern Ireland. Got a little bit of a question in a rugby-related way. Would it make the blindest bit of difference to the British and Irish Lions had Scotland voted to make themselves separate? Well, firstly, what would have happened? Do you reckon they probably would have kept it together, wouldn't they? In the way that they keep Ireland, Northern and Southern Ireland together.
I think the selectors would have been so relieved. It's like, yes, we don't have to take a token Scotsman. I think it just would actually, it would relieve the pressure.
Well, the last two tours, there's been 3 Scots selected in the initial squad, and one from each of those tours, in Nathan Hines and Sean Maitland, was not even Scottish. They were Australian and New Zealander.
But if we were selectors and we were picking the Lions squad today, right now, this moment, would anyone get in?
You might have... Oh, no, you wouldn't even have Hogg at fullback because Halfpenny's injured. You'd have Carney and Mike Brown.
Damn right you would.
Would any of the front rowers, the props, make it into the squad?
Not Ewan Murray. Grant of Glasgow is a good loose head.
Got Tyrannosaurus Rex arms, though, hasn't he?
The answer is no.
The squad did have a few players, three, four players maybe.
He wouldn't get into it.
Into the starting team? I can't think of anyone.
So anyway, I guess what we're saying is, in terms of rugby, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, take it more seriously, please.
So... Yeah, there we go. That's a bit. This is as close to politics as we're going to get on this podcast. I can guarantee you that. Another massive weekend of rugby. So let's start with our picks of the week. What did you spot, JB, that you would like to flag up as being your little pick of the week?
Well, I really enjoyed the Exeter-Gloucester game. It just went back and forth. It's reaffirmed.
Hold on. I feel like I need to play it. You just said something that's made me want to play a little clip. Back and forth.
Oh, wow. I did not see that coming.
You keep your pick of the week going over Wu-Tang Clan's brilliant gravel pit, JB.
Do I have to? okay. So, it was good because Exeter started strong and then they got someone... Did they get someone yellow-corded?
They did.
Yes, of course they did. because Charlie Sharples was cheating. And so then...
What, by wearing ridiculously long cycling shorts again? Same as Johnny May?
Unbelievable.
What is it? Is it contractual that they have to have cycling shorts from the 1980s?
Yeah, they must have a retro kit sponsor or something. But it went back and forth, so...
Back and forth and forth.
This is really difficult. Please turn that music off.
All right.
Goodness me. Thank God. So, Gloucester started strong. They had an incredible driving mall. I really, really enjoyed that. Then the...
Are we going to go through every phase of playing the whole game? This is going to be a summary.
It was very, very good. It showed me that Gloucester had built their team the wrong way. I didn't even notice James Hawk. In fact, I kind of think they should move James Hawk out of 10 now because he looks completely ineffective and have his creative skills a little bit further away, maybe 12, maybe 15. Exeter are built exactly the right way. You know, youth, Sam Hill looks like a beast.
Him and Slade in the centres look good.
It kind of shows through that Gloucester are basically, you know, a bunch of individuals and they're not doing and they're not really doing much, whereas Exeter are built from the ground up and they just look fantastic.
And they've signed two, in inverted commas, I'm using the inverted commas, world-class front row players, and they still get pumped in the scrums.
Yeah, I mean...
By a youngster, that guy for Exeter Chiefs, signed from London Scottish.
I think there is something in Gloucester to look forward to. I just think it's going to be a little while yet before we see it.
Yeah. Did you see the piece on John Afoa and Richard Hibbard that was on BT Sport before the match?
It was a lot of awkward laughing in that piece, but I enjoyed it.
With David Flatman?
Yes, that's the one.
Ribbing. Well, firstly, good on you, Flats, for ribbing Richard Hibbard for the dive.
Yes, well done.
Well done for making sure he had to apologise for that. And he took it in good humour. But also, just Richard Hibbard, what the hell was that hat you were wearing? That was shocking stash.
Aren't bad hats all the rage in Gloucester now, after Laurie Fisher joined?
Yeah, I think you're right. Phil, your pick... I'll do my pick of the week first. I was stuck... No, that's the wrong word.
Stuck.
I was working at Sale London Welsh. There's nothing... to be a pick of the week out of that match, believe me. No, my pick of the week would be London Irish, who, well, it's both good and bad. Good, it was a real good reaction, and they've shown a bit of form that they had the potential to do, and a couple of young guys, Scott Steele, the scrum half, Alex Lewington, who they signed last year from Nottingham via the Leicester Tigers Academy. However, got out undone by a last-minute Saracens try. Again, as JB refers to him, the Borg.
The Borg,
cyborg.
Indeed.
The cyborgs of Saracens just managed to eke out a win. They didn't deserve it. London Irish played really well.
It must be gutting for London Irish to be in that position, to be winning.
They've done it a few times though, London Irish. This isn't the first time that they've let go a late lead.
Well, they beat Saracens at Saracens last year. They I think they quite fancy themselves against that team, and they had a really good... what was really good was the tactical nous. What they were doing was the... We talked about it recently, the rugby league style, just little dinks over the top.
Yeah.
That seems to be one way you beat that break defense. Up Saracens' quick blanket line defence is the little nudge, and they got a couple of tries from exactly that.
Apparently, the young fly half had a very good game.
Noakes.
That's
the new signing came from New Zealand. Yeah.
Mm.
Phil, your pick of the week?
It's the big one, Bath Leicester. We all thought would be an incredibly tight game before the match. Then, immediately before the match, Leicester lost. Both Anthony Allen and Tuilagi in the warm-up.
Did they run into each other?
No details have been given. It was injuries before kickoff, so they were threadbare. But that doesn't excuse the way that their pack got destroyed.
So the biggest losing margin wasn't actually London Welsh, it was Leicester Tigers.
I think it was. I think that's correct.
Wow.
Every single man from Bath looked stronger, faster, more committed, fitter, better hands, in every facet of play.
That backline is so exciting, isn't it?
Jonathan Joseph and Rocco Degouni.
I was trying to sort of think, what can I say about Leicester? Is there any bright? The only thing I could think was Niall Morris's tackling was brilliant. That's the only thing I could think of that was any good.
He had a lot of chances to get them tackles in.
And on this, before we get into what it means looking forward, I also want to just talk about, and I know JB will join me with this, let's talk about that scrum.
Oh. Wilson and James did an absolute number on Balmain and Moneypola.
People do not realise what a good scrummager Paul James is.
Yeah.
He's a beast.
And
It's the extra power in his lower jaw.
Oh, so much power.
And having Hooper and Atwood was immense all game. Having those two behind as well.
He looked like some sort of biblical figure when he had blood pouring, dripping through his beard.
He was heroic.
They started with Weber as well.
Yes, they did.
Wow,
yeah.
That's just a huge front row, isn't it?
Yeah, Weber's lineout was awesome as well. The whole Bath lineout was superb, disrupting the
system. It was just. I think the word that you used on was it you, Phil, that you used to describe Bath's play on our at Rugby Podcast Twitter was sexual. Was that you, James?
It was me.
It wasn't me.
Sexual scrummaging.
Big win.
Would you not say Rocket and Goonies got to be in with a shout of an England spot?
Yes.
EPS squad is being announced soon. Atwood is got to be in with a chance of a starting spot.
Yeah.
And starting, I don't know, but
because it's
spot.
Second row is so tight. Like,
who's going to get that spot on the bench?
Yeah. I would put Atwood ahead of Parlin, I think, based on what I've seen this season. With Laws and Launchbury probably maintaining their stuff.
I think Atwood's a beast.
The other thing from that game, I know Jay's been banging on about his predictions previously. I think I said at the end of last week's pod that George Ford would make Leicester wish they'd retained him rather than Freddie Burns.
I think so.
And yes, I think he might have just done that.
I need to get another
Ford kid.
I need to get another bit of music out for this because seriously, I think all three of us, even Pedo, who's our visiting, I'm sure as a Welshman, would have to say we would love to jump on horseback and ride up into a mountain and pitch a tent with George Ford.
I'm not sure we would.
Do some fishing, eat some beans out of a can.
Metaphorically,
of course.
And then watch
some game tape of his matches this season so far. The guy's been amazing.
Yeah.
It's very impressive.
You said it in the first week, Tim. He just has so much space, so much time on the ball, and he just seems to always make the right decision, whether he's going to show and
go or
give the pass.
Well, let's just wait and see how George Ford does against his arch nemesis, Rain. Because every time I've seen it rain, wow, he looks bad.
That's true, actually. Last season,
every time.
But he's still only 21. So,
do you get more water resistance with age, or how does this work?
He's getting more and more experienced.
Like old people have leather handbag skin; it just gets slightly more leathery and just repel the water more.
Rain does affect Bath because they're also steppy.
Yes.
Oh, and then they're going to bring in Big Sam. Oh, yes. Oh,
God, yeah.
This is exciting times down at the Rec. And you know what? When I saw that score, I thought, this is amazing. And I thought, no, I'm really angry now. Because I told Phil, last podcast, let's go down and watch Bath. And Phil said, no, not really, no.
Well, we did have a friend's engagement party
that
we had to be at.
We missed history.
Well, it is history.
It is.
I'm getting my fact button at the ready because, Phil, you can fill us in on some stats about this game, can't you?
Well, yeah, the most important one was it is the first time that Leicester have ever been nilled in the Premiership.
That's incredible. Fact!
It's the largest score that Bath have beaten their old rivals by in their history.
Fact!
It's the largest defeat in the Premiership for Leicester ever.
Oof. Fact!
It's an ugly reading for Leicester. Where do they go? I mean, well, maybe this brings us on to something else we want to talk about. Maybe we should do the injured team here.
Yeah.
Because Leicester are, once again, just like last season, blighted by injuries. And
they shouldn't buy injured players. I know it sounds stupid to say that because you don't know when players are going to get injured. But if you've got a Tom Croft, yes, he is world class. But they've had him for like, how long now? 8 years or something like that? They should just know, if you're going to spend a lot of money on a player like that, he's got to play more than three games a season. He keeps on getting injured. I think it's time that they kind of part ways with their injury-prone players and get people who've got a track record of actually being... You know, it's really hard because you don't know when players will get injured. But if you look at the model that the NFL use, if you've got a season where you've only played a quarter of the games, the chances are you're not going to be there next year. It's a real difficult one, and I know it's awkward because you don't want to be too harsh on injured players, but it's a reality.
Yeah. And Croft is like Leicester through and through. He's been there since the academy.
Yeah.
But they brought in Miles Benjamin, who has played maybe 10 games in the last two seasons.
And who was to see that? Because he played an awful lot for Worcester.
For Worcester, yeah.
So he's a special talent. When he gets fit, he is a special talent.
Yeah, but you've got to be fit.
So on that basis... players that are injured currently, what's the best 15 we can come up with?
Are we going to name the Leicester starting team? I'll start. I'll go with Dan Cole.
Yeah, Dan Cole, tight head.
Yeah, I've got Dan Cole. Yep. I've got Loosehead, Gethin Jenkins.
Yeah, exactly the same one I've got.
And Stephen Moore, Australian hooker.
Exactly who I've got.
Is Gethin Jenkins actually injured, or has he just been rested?
No, calf injury.
Again?
That's a proper international front row, that.
A lot of caps. Locks. I've gone two Leicester ones.
Mm-hmm.
Slater
and Brad Thorne.
Exactly.
Brad Thorne injured?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. Still recovering.
He doesn't get injured for 65 years. And then he moves to Leicester.
Something wrong in the water.
Stephen Ferris on the blind side?
Oh, yeah.
Does he count? Because he's retired.
Retired.
Well,
retired.
Has he officially retired?
Yeah,
now?
Retired.
That's such a shame, that.
It's a blow for my Ulsterman.
Sefton. Pocock?
Yeah. Pocock.
Uh-huh.
Francois Lowe.
If we do this next...
currently injured.
If we do this next week, you can add Warburton.
If he's allowed to play.
Yeah.
Right, let's just pause on that one, right? Seriously. What are the WRU on about? So, as I understand it, they pulled Sam Warburton out of Cardiff's toughest match so far in the Pro 12 against Ulster.
Very tough match.
For the reason being, he's played three games in a row. Now,
yep.
What's his job?
Because
I'm sure it is rugby player.
Yeah. And one of those was a pre-season match.
Yes.
This can't be good, can it?
And so why not pull him out of the game in Zebre or the pre-season game and let him play against this real tough Irish
team? It was Cardiff at home as well. And one of the things in the problems in Welsh rugby is not attracting the big crowds. So you want your big name players playing. People of Cardiff, you've turned up to that game expecting to see him, expecting to see someone like Jenkins. And they're not there, then going to be a lot more reluctant in future to actually come down.
WRU, what are you doing? We thought we'd put all this to bed.
Yeah.
Scrum off. Or is there any more back row?
Back row, I had Francois Lowe, David Pocock and PSBs.
Okay, and scrum off then.
I had Ruben Pienaar.
That's exactly who I've got. That's nice. a real blow, that one.
Yeah, it is. He's playing very well as well. Hopefully he'll come back for Ulster fit and strong.
10.
Rodri Jackson?
Yes.
Out for 6 months.
Yeah.
Dan Carter?
Dan Carter, I've got.
Yeah, it's a toss-up.
Okay, centres.
I've gone...
I'll take your pick. Jonathan Joseph now.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a bad one.
But you could really have the Leicester combination of Allen and
Tuilagi. That's a pretty solid centre partnership.
But I've gone for Manonu and Tuilagi.
Nice.
Yeah, wingers. Nice.
Again, Leicester combination of Miles Benjamin and Adam Thompson.
Yeah.
Adam Thompson? Surely there's better injured wingers than Adam Thompson.
Well,
Leicester really are having trouble, aren't they?
They really are, aren't they? I'm just doing that to emphasise the Leicester.
Oh, right, good. Not to emphasise how good Adam Thompson is.
Surely in a couple of weeks, we might as well just put Matt Tate in here in pencil and then row him in a couple of weeks.
Hugo Monia.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
I've got down James Simpson Daniel because he kind of only recently announced his retirement after failing to come back. But yeah, Miles Benjamin, Hugo Monia.
I'll stick Thompson at fullback.
Lee Halfpenny at fullback.
Oh, yes.
He's still to make his debut.
What Bujalad was saying, as in we may have to consider terminating the contract of Lee Halfpenny and also moaning that he thinks he may have been carrying an injury when he signed for Toulon. Is that not their job to find that information out?
Yeah.
Yes.
But today it said that it's been resolved now.
But I also saw an interview with Habana. Because Beaujolais also came out and said he demands his South African players to come back, otherwise he'll stop paying them. Come back from the Rugby Championship.
Where are they?
Well, they're Argentina.
Has this got anything to do with the fact that Toulon have been struggling a little bit and haven't been playing very well, and then they absolutely smash Brive at the weekend and, oh no, everything's fine.
But, yes, right. I think it is along those lines.
So, yeah, Lee Halfpenny rounds off our team. That's a proper
international,
that's a World Cup winning potential 15, that.
See, I have... I think this highlights another thing, which is probably too many games. I would like to see the amount of games cut down drastically. So we'd have a shorter season and then fit in the international season, because if you think about the amount of games which are playing, it is too many. If you think about all those players you'd like to see playing week after week, and I don't think they can do it if they have to play, I don't know, what, 30 games a season?
Well, 30 games plus internationals. There was an article in The Independent this week that was referencing an article in The Times 2 weeks ago that said that at any given time, 30% of the players in the top 14 are injured.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
It's a huge number.
I just want to say, and I want to pay tribute to the wonderful commentary summarising skills of Lawrence Dallaglio. He did what I absolutely love when commentators use literally wrong. But the best ever example was Jamie Redknapp, who said Michael Owen is literally a greyhound. That's the best one. But Loris Dellelio, just into the second half of the Leicester-Bath match, said of the Bath performance in the first half and against Leicester, he said, Leicester have literally been pummeled by Bath. Well done, Lawrence. I've looked up what pummeling means. The definition is to be repeatedly beaten with the fists. Like that, no wonder
that
Bath
is literally
won.
If Wayne Barnes
let them get away with that the whole first half.
Wayne Barnes will let you get away with anything. Sometimes he doesn't even let you get away with rugby.
Well, let's talk about that, because listen, there's been one phrase that if you've listened to the podcast for a while, and if you have listened, I want to say thank you very much for doing so. But there's one phrase that's been used in the podcast by one member, JB, more than any other, and I know that he's going to want to use this phrase today. The phrase you will have heard before is let the boys play.
Let the boys play. Let the boys play. Oh, let the boys play. Just let the boys play. Let the boys play.
You loser, Tim. When did you do that?
Just went through old podcasts. And, well, mainly I went to the one where Jared Payne got a red card for Ulster and took little clips of you.
I say you're the loser. Maybe I'm the loser.
It's become a catchphrase on the podcast, and Jay uses it just essentially to say,
let the boys play. That's what it means. Just let them play.
Stop getting involved with your law changes and refereeing decisions which ruin the flow of the game and the genuine contest. And Phil, you've always been with that Jared Payne one and the catching in the air.
I say let the boys play. He says let the boys pay. Pay with yellow cards and
penalties. Has it gone too far, Phil?
Catching. There's been a lot of instances recently where it's gone way too far,
and none more egregious than the yellow card for Corbett Sierra for God knows what. In fact, two yellow cards, because, you know, that makes more sense.
That was a ridiculous decision.
Some of these refs need to be lynched.
Are they just doing what they've been told to do? Because it was interesting listening.
I don't know if they know what to do. I think they're mad. The extra one, luckily it didn't affect the game. But I think the rule must be now.
Witten, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Witten on Sharples.
It doesn't compute. It must be now, what they actually want secretly is for them not to compete in the air. I think that's what it must be. Because Witten was looking the other way completely, he had his back turned, and then Sharples jumped on his head. And then Sharples caught the ball, fell to the floor, and Witten gets yellow. What is going on?
It's this phrase that they've used, duty of care, isn't it?
Yeah. What does that mean? Why can't you have a duty of care to yourself? Oh, there's a man under the ball. Let's not jump on his head. I mean, I would say the duty of care comes to the player, not jumping on the head of the other player. What does that even mean anyway? You know, how much duty of care do you think goes through Manoa's head when he's destroying fly halves? I just don't understand
it. And if you want to take this duty of care thing a little bit further, then surely Jacques Berger should be red carded every time he plays for duty of his care to his own face.
If you want a team who, you know, it's just a duty of care team, why don't you just pick 15 nurses and, you know, watch them nurse each other? It's ludicrous. Ludicrous. They've got to stop it.
Tell me more about these nurses nursing each other.
It'd be terrible. It'd be awful.
Would this happen in a bath? A big one of those things, rugby baths?
It'll never happen, thank God. And do you know what? If you've trained all week to catch balls in the air and that happens, you can't coach what these refs are deciding.
Yeah.
They should be suspended.
It is. It's very great. The point that you made is very good, that in Sharples jumping as high as he does, he's kind of acting recklessly himself.
I think so. But
it's how do you referee it? The rules are guided to go on actions, not intentions or anything like that, actions. So the action that happened was he got touched in the air and he fell from 6 foot, landed on his back. Now that is very dangerous. According to the guidelines by the IRB, the RFU, that is dangerous act, and it's going to be a yellow card.
But Sharples did that to himself.
Yeah, but this is where, like you make that point, it becomes an incredibly difficult grey area.
Well, if I was a cynical person, which of course I'm not, and I saw you catching a ball and you weren't facing me and you weren't elevating, I'd basically jump on your back and fall to the floor and say, ref, ref, ref. I'd pretend to be injured, maybe hold my head.
Ludicrous. What would be the lesser of two evils? Would it be to continue with the laws as it currently is, or saying you can't jump to catch the ball?
I think that's basically what we're going to have to do, isn't it? Because these refs have got so little idea of what they're reffing. It's embarrassing.
Well, no, but as Phil just said, they're following out the directive that they've been given.
I don't know. What is the directive? I mean, we're going to have to look up exactly what the directive says, but I can't imagine when the lawmakers were writing these laws, they had that Witten situation in mind. I don't think it's going to be too long until we see a rugby strike zone where you can't tackle below the knees.
That's a huge change from what there is now.
Yeah, because I was watching, I can't remember who was commentating, but he was talking about these kind of, you know, the chop tackles.
Oh, the chop tackles where you dive at someone's ankles. Yeah,
it's so dangerous. It's so dangerous. And I can see it's only a matter of time till some busybody.
Well, basically, Dan Lydiot.
He's made a whole career out of it. And, you know, what's Dan Lydiot going to do next?
There's different ways. Because in rugby league, they've banned the chop tackle where two players have both stood up and someone dives at like the side of the knee.
Yeah.
Purposely. And the other one goes at the top half.
Yeah, purposely trying to like make buckle
them
the
turn
knee.
Them into an S shape, buckle the knee. Yeah. The other one, the other contentious decision was the David Mele red card.
I've not seen this. I don't know what happened.
Which, where do you stand? Because I think it's a deserved red.
I think it was yellow because I thought, right, so if you didn't see it like JB, it was the Bath Leicester game. It's towards the end of the match, although that's irrelevant when it happened.
Yeah.
A Leicester player goes down with the ball, Atwood's on top of him. Mm-hmm. And the scrum half arriving thinks the ball is trapped underneath the Leicester tummy and that Dave Atwood is just lying on top of the Leicester player, not rolling away, and is preventing the ball from coming out of the
ruck. Did he put his boots on him then?
He then put his boots on Atwood's arm because basically his perception was, and it's how I saw it when I was watching the game as well, I went, Atwood should have rolled away. And even the commentators went, oh, referee Wayne Barnes, if he thought there was an infringement by Atwood, he could have blown the whistle earlier and prevented that. But when you actually look from a different angle, you see Atwood had stolen the ball, swept it back, and then just the ball was miles away.
Oh, was it?
But the commentators, myself, and obviously the scrum half, thought the ball was being deliberately trapped and slowed down by Atwood. Anyway, he took matters into his own hands, the scrum half, Mele, raked down Atwood's arm.
It was three very aggressive rakes.
Are you allowed to put your feet on players anymore? I'm not even sure if you are.
It has to be near the ball.
Yeah.
And it has to be not on the body.
The ball was, by the time of the third strike, the ball was 5 metres away.
It seemed to be.
And it was very aggressive.
I draw two lines here. There's extremely aggressive, reckless rucking. I'd say, red card. But I would also say, and I believe this is the laws, the red card is issued when it's near joints. Knees,
agreed.
Shoulders, elbow. If it's deliberately attacking a joint that could directly cause serious injury, think of Doddy Weir in the Lions, Living with Lions, 97, the way he goes out the tour where someone just stamps on his knee joint. But this was, it had good intentions, stupidly executed. I would have given a yellow.
I could understand the yellow. I think it showed the scoreline. I think Mele was really frustrated and he took his frustrations out on it. And for that reason, I think it was so much over the top, so far away from what was actually needed, that I'd say red card's fine.
What they should have done to take their frustrations away should have been to pile that horrible away kit and just burn it. Yeah. Never wear it again. Why were they wearing that, by the way?
I'm pretty sure we're not going to see that away kit again after that result.
Yeah, maybe not. Might be like the United grey kit at Southampton.
Just one really strange thing, right? Have you noticed that it's okay for scrum halves to stamp on their own players? And you see it all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're trying to dig a ball out and they see some stupid klutz. Right, here you got, and they're stamping all over him. I wouldn't be surprised if one day someone gets
carded for stamping on their own man.
Why is it always stamp on your own player?
My favourite scrum halves are the type of scrum halves that would stamp on their own players.
Peter Stringer has definitely done that a lot in his time.
Oh, yes, he has.
I think they should bring back raking. As long as it's just to the body and legs and face.
So, in conclusion, you're just saying let the boys play,
let
JB.
Let the boys play.
I do think there needs to be further clarity on the high ball rule. And I think some of the yellow cards for high tackles that I've seen recently are ridiculous.
But what about,
because they've changed the ruling on high tackling. So even if it starts on the chest and slides up, it is a high tackle.
I hate the ones where the player like slips.
I know.
And what, it just drops. What can a defender do?
It's some of those.
It makes me not want to watch rugby.
Turning the game soft. They're ludicrous.
Yeah, how do you coach not signing up?
No.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah. The Habana one a few weeks ago against Australia.
Let's see if we can get
ridiculous.
Let's see if we can get a meeting with some rule makers somewhere.
Yeah, do they not know why we love rugby so much and why rugby? So many people. It's a welcome relief from the ridiculousness of football and footballers
and the stupid tedium of life.
I heard Phil Neville on the radio the other night saying we shouldn't call diving. We should call it a technical foul. He was trying to make the case that basically it's a technique and diving should be referred to as a technical foul because it's just a clever player being able to. It's just it made me want to pull my hair out and shout at the radio. And I was like, thank God I follow rugby. I don't ever want to see it getting in the same area.
I think we need to take the stance which smokers should have taken. Now, if I was a smoker back in the 80s, I would never, ever...
Where is this going?
I would have resisted all the anti-smoking laws I possibly could, because then it's like the thin end of the wedge, and before you know it, if you don't have a cigarette, you've got to have it 20 miles away from your workplace, because it just keeps on building and building. We need to stop these soft people getting into our game early, because eventually it's just going to turn into tag rugby.
Can we all applaud that analogy? Come on.
No, it's the most confusing analogy I think I've ever heard.
What, are you saying that, like, I don't know?
So who's the smoker? Rugby.
What I'm saying, right, is don't let these people influence what we do. Don't let it happen, because it will happen. These PC bods will go, oh, that's not safe. Then an injury audit.
So is tag rugby like the electronic cigarettes?
When Phil gets his way, all rugby will only be allowed to be played on PlayStation for ultimate health and safety.
Yes, that's a good idea, Jay.
And you have to warm up your thumbs first.
Let us know what you think at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. Thank you very much for getting in touch with us over the last week. We've had a bunch of stuff, including I reckon that interview that I mentioned earlier, Richard Hibbard and John Afoa. I reckon David Flatman was getting some of his gear to chat to them about from us and from people's responses to us on Twitter.
Because, I'd like to think so.
Because we were asking last week, Phil compiled his top 10 nicknames in rugby, and we said, well, we must have missed some, let us know. And you did. And some of them came up, and David Flatman was looped in a conversation about a few of them, and then said, in the interview with Richard Hibbard and John Furry, he said, oh, Richard Hibbard, I learnt this over the last week, and this was one of the tweets that he was looped in on. Your nickname was Fatrick Swayze, which is a brilliant... How we didn't know about that one and get it in the list? I don't know.
Yeah, he was looped into a conversation about the most stylish players.
Oh, yeah.
And someone nominated him as the most stylish front row.
Yeah.
So now we've got captain Hugo Monier.
Yes, definitely.
Sharp-dressed.
Yeah, very sharply dressed man. And we've got David Flatman.
I'd put Mike Ford as the director of rugby for that.
Really?
He wears a blazer. Because I interviewed him the other week when Bath played away at Sale. And he wears his... what's it called? The checkered style.
Gingham?
Yeah, he wears his gingham. He wears his gingham shirt. He wears his real, like, mustard beige trousers. They're good. With his Bath blazer, with the Bath emblem on it. It's beautiful. Nice. With the proper brass buttons and
just
stuff.
Just remember where Ford came from, and just think how well it would go down if you returned to Oldham Town Centre in his mustard trousers, Ingham shirt and Bath blazer.
I like it. I like it a lot. But anyway, there was a bunch of other nicknames that were suggested. So to add to your list of the best nicknames in rugby, Phil, we got some suggestions on Twitter, didn't we?
Yes. We missed 36, Billy 12 Trees.
We did.
Because... Jordan Murphy, when they were at Leicester together, said 12 trees. 12 trees is 36. then my favourite probably is a loafer, a loafer.
That was class. I enjoyed that a lot.
He's Waratahs. I think he's just gone to France.
That's so good.
His nicknamed Bread.
Yeah, but now he's gone to France, he's nicknamed Baguette.
Baguette.
That's a brilliant one.
And yeah, Patrick Swayze is excellent, isn't he?
He's excellent. So there we go. So with anything you hear or want to react to, the great and the good, they read our Twitter feed. Don't you worry about that. So keep tweeting us at Rugby Podcast and get in touch. Now, there's something I spotted. I need to mention this. So it's a year to the World Cup.
Mm.
It's 1 year to the day, the other day. And Austin Healey was doing an article in The Telegraph, and he was looking at each team and what their chances of success are. You know how sometimes you might give a team a rating out of 10? Or something like that.
Yeah.
It would be like, I'd say England are currently in good shape, 8 out of 10.
Yeah.
Austin Healey or the Daily Telegraph or whoever decided on this decided to do it in percentages. So okay. Austin Healey was giving teams a percentage chance of winning the World Cup.
Okay.
So he gave Scotland a 7% chance.
That's high.
That is very high.
He then moving on to Italy, he gave them his World Cup chances, 25%.
Italy. So, 1 in 4.
1 in 4 right. World Cups Italy are going
to
win.
Moving on to Argentina, 25%. Moving on to Wales, 48%.
Well, that's already more than 100%.
France, World Cup chances, 50%.
Wow.
Australia, 60. Ireland, 70. South Africa, 80. England, 85. New Zealand, 90. He managed to do a roundup of the World Cup chances and all his percentages added up to 580%.
Is he covering the next five
World Cups?
Yeah, 5.8 World Cups. Is that what he's trying to cover here?
I can only think that's what he was up
to. Austin, come on.
Daily Telegraph, you're better than that. Come on.
Well, one of them needs to be held to account for this. Well,
if you did on a rating out of 10, that would have made perfect sense.
Yeah.
Well, why choose percent? It was odd. So well done. We've got to talk about this, boys. We've got to talk about this. JB, well, no, I was going to say made your 5 Live radio debut. That's not true.
Been on 5 Live a few times, to be fair.
You've never been on 5 Live as Jonathan Beardmore from the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast,
no,
however.
And I've never been on the Egg Chasers podcast as Jonathan Beardmore either. So.
No. JB made an appearance. 5 Live got in touch and they were looking around for some rugby experts and came to us for some reason. And JB volunteered his services to 5 Live.
Expert, you say? I'll be there immediately.
Yeah. Did you get paid a contributor's fee? I think you're meant to get 50 quid or something, can't you?
I would. Don't know. No, I didn't get anything.
You didn't. You should have asked for it. You'd normally get it.
No, I just popped in on the way to work.
Croissant, cup of coffee.
No. Didn't get anything. Didn't get a cup of coffee.
What?
Not even a thank you.
No, well, that's how I went.
What are we paying our license fee for?
Strictly.
Yeah.
The Bake Off.
So JB went on 5 Live, and the topic you were talking about, you were a rugby contributor on the topic of are baths hygienic.
Well, actually, well, let's listen to the clip because it'll make more sense.
Okay.
Rugby players who aren't really known for being a shy private bunch are being warned not to share towels or, in fact, anything else really because of a risk of serious skin infection. It's warning against sharing ice baths and razors and clothing after a bug spread around a club in the Midlands, leaving players with boils and abscesses. So how much do rugby players really share? Jonathan Beardmore presents the Egg Chasers Rugby podcast. So hi there, Jonathan.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
It's very nice to see. Is there a lot of sharing that goes on?
Well, it's a bit of an odd story because, from what I heard, it's not just towels, but razors and, what was the other one?
Ice baths, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose there is quite a lot of sharing.
Yeah, I mean, when you come in after playing a game, you've forgotten your towel, you'd quite happily pick up someone else's, would you?
Not a problem at all. In fact, it happened to me about 2 weeks ago.
Did it?
So, yeah, not really an issue.
What, you gave...
That's us laughing now, by the way, not people laughing at the time.
The razors thing sounds a bit odd, though. I mean, other than Gavin Henson, I don't know who needs a razor.
So you were on to talk about that. If you're really interested, you can go and listen to Tuesday's 5 Live Breakfast Show. But this story, it's a bit of a non-story, isn't it?
Yes, I guess it is.
Yes.
I mean, the thing which got
You're not on 5 Live now. You can just say what you want now.
Well, okay. I was going to lay into Public Health England because I thought, have they... I mean, obviously they've just finished curing the common cold and all of cancer because now they're looking at towels. But no. What actually happened is they were called in by the rugby club to do a survey and find out exactly what was the issue. So it wasn't just some busybody looking for something to do.
It sounds like...
The razors thing is weird, though. I wouldn't never share a razor. I mean, I might share a razor.
Oh, how often do you find your other half has used your razor?
Yeah, that's a bit different, though. I wouldn't share a razor with Jay, for example.
No. It's just weird. And also, I wouldn't shave in the rugby club. Or I might do if I was in a real rush, but...
I don't know.
Ice bath. Look at me. Do I ever get an ice bath?
Do you not think this rugby club in the West Midlands have just, like, had an outbreak of, like, I don't know, some sort of disease or something?
Well, and it was a
disease.
And
they're going, why have you all got... This
syphilis.
STI.
What have you been sharing?
What have you said? Towels. It's the towels.
Yeah, that's almost certainly what happened.
Yeah.
Have you looked at everything they've been sharing, Public Health England? I suspect you haven't.
Yeah, and also the 21-year-old student physio.
Because in terms of sharing, now I've shared a lot of moments with colleagues that I wouldn't want to talk about to a health professional. Many of which I didn't take any part in, but I just witnessed. But I'm sure we can all think of times when stuff goes on. When rugby players are a funny breed, aren't they?
Yeah.
Right, well, there we go. That was JB's big moment on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, BBC, up your game. At least get us a little Armand croissant
or
something.
Yeah, BBC, in the future, if you need someone who knows about rugby, call Tim or call Phil.
Right, before we move on, let's do a very quick two-minute discussion. So this is on the clock. We've only got 2 minutes to decide on one of the topical things that's been going on in rugby. And one of the announcements has been from the RFU about the increase in the salary cap for Aviva Premiership sides. JB, you can kick off. Salary cap increase, good or bad?
Good start, but not enough. I would like to see salary cap go up even more. Because it's gone up, it just means that you can pay your existing players fractionally better. The more important thing is the new uncapped player, so we can get in more superstars from New Zealand, South Africa, wherever else it may be.
Phil?
I think it's a good thing. Got to compete with the top 14. But it'd be interesting to have the transparency in the overall pay for players. Like we mentioned before,
yep.
Allegedly some players are on 30K who are clearly not on 30K.
Well, I'm going to come from a different point of view and say that the salary cap increase could be a bad thing because the rich are going to get richer, the poor are going to get poorer. Already, we know, surely, that some teams are operating outside of the salary cap with consultancy fees that they're getting from big commercial partners and stuff like that. And Newcastle, Sale Sharks, London Irish, those types of teams could go into oblivion. JB?
I don't really see how that would work, but as long as there's a lot of TV money coming in and equal distribution of sports rights, it should be okay. I think the key here is gradual increases, but gradually I want more higher salary caps.
Phil?
Yeah, we've got to be able to compete with the top 14 and bring in the best talent in, which the second marquee player will do. Important to have transparency. But like you say, Tim, you can't have the rich clubs getting richer and the creating further disparity in the league.
And final little point on this would be, I understand why it's been done. It's for the England team and it's trying to stop after the World Cup. They're anticipating that loads of English players after the World Cup are going to do one to France to earn a load of money, and it's trying to put more money into the English game on salaries to keep them in the game. I understand that. I just worry that the big clubs are going to get even more dominant. And the great thing about the Premiership, as we've seen this weekend, is that the equal
parity.
Pat, the competitiveness of the league is one of its best
strength.
Features.
Yeah.
It's one of its strengths. So I see why they're doing it, but I worry about what it could mean. But that, I suppose, it is a very real reality. There probably are a load of players, especially of around that age, sort of late 20s, early 30s, that will do one for a big check.
Like Toby Flood did.
They're not doing one. They're securing
the
future.
No, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. If I were a player and I had the chance to play abroad, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Yeah, I'm gone. See you later, boys. See you later, Newcastle.
Just not just about the money, just about the life experience.
Mm.
Well, Dwayne Peel moved to Sale to experience a new culture, famously.
Did he actually genuinely say that?
Oh, yeah. We need to find that clip. It's hilarious.
It's like when the...
Well, apparently they don't have lattes in Llanelli, so...
I always like when you see like a South American footballer, someone from Argentina signing for Stoke, and he says, "Oh, Stoke! It's been my boyhood dream to play for Stoke."
Oh, absolutely, it has.
Benji McCarthy, when he said he was growing up in South Africa, dreaming of playing for Blackburn Rovers.
There's a Welsh international footballer, Mickey Thomas.
I know all about Mickey Thomas.
Who was playing? He was living in Wrexham and playing for Manchester United.
Uh-huh.
Wow,
and. He then moved to Chelsea,
mm-hmm.
and the commute. So it was like driving from Wrexham to West London.
The guy
every
that printed
day.
Money, yeah.
So, but yeah, the guy, yeah. So it's like four hour drive there, 4 hour back every day. And he said that he said that the commuting has just got too much. I can't do the commuting, so I'm moving to Stoke.
I'm actually very, very good friends with Mickey Thomas's nephew. There you go.
Name drop.
Name drop.
That's the worst name drop I've ever heard.
The reason I say it is because I've got loads and loads of stories, but I can't really tell them on the podcast.
So taken aback by that name drop that I forgot to, I couldn't actually reach for the name drop bell.
I'm instantly regretting what
there
I just said.
There we go. Is your good friend's cousin's dog sitter's mum anyone famous, Phil?
Not that I'm aware. Not that I'd want to mention on the podcast.
What have I done?
Well, you can redeem yourself by telling us some of these good stories.
No, I can't. I really can't. But there's a lot of them.
All right, we'll move on.
Man That Prints Many has a lot of good stories.
We'll move on. Okay, then, final thing on the podcast is, of course, to look forward to the matches that are coming up. So we'll go through the main leagues. We'll pick out our and talk in a bit more depth about our pick of the week, looking forward in the fixtures, and we'll give our predictions about what we think is going to go. If you think we've got it completely wrong, and we always do, we all said it would be tight between Bath and Leicester. I actually said I thought Leicester might edge it. Mm. I wouldn't have said that if I'd known Alan and Tuilagi weren't in the team. But even
I got
so,
all my picks right.
No, you didn't. Harlequins. I said Quins would win.
Yeah, I said.
Do you know I looked at the teams. I honestly couldn't see where Harlequins had an advantage over Wasps on the two team sheets.
Yeah, it's a hell of a result that.
Yeah, it's really good. Good one for Quins.
Mm. Let's start with the Pro 12 because we've not really talked about the. I mean, your Ulsterman, Phil. So how did they get on? In that they comfortably beat Cardiff, didn't they?
Yeah, 26-9. Couple of players coming back as well. Tommy Bowe played his first game, and
Tommy Bowe's got a range of shoes.
He does, yeah.
Oh,
I think
we found this
on...
out. He's brogues.
Yeah.
No, they're not brogues.
Oh, they're not.
Well, he has a range of shoes, so he probably does have some brogues in
and
there.
And all named after Ireland players. You can get a Cronin, a Sexton.
O'Driscoll.
You can't get an O'Driscoll, actually. I remember the Cronin, the O'Driscoll, and there's a...
Cronin is a weird one to pick.
Yeah. Nice shoes. Anyway. Well,
yeah. Ulster looked good. Their defence was very good against Cardiff. Cardiff couldn't seem to break through.
If you're a supporter of one of the Welsh regions or one of the Irish provinces or Scottish regions as well, then I guess the reason we didn't really talk about it this much is there wasn't...
This isn't the podcast for you.
There was, no. There wasn't the tight games that there were in the Premiership. There was quite a lot of like one-sided matches.
Well, the biggest game from the weekend just gone was Connacht beating Leinster 10-9.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which is a hell of a result. Connacht unbeaten.
Gee, that's two good results for... all of the good results because they're unbeaten. Yeah.
Are the Irish teams not as good as they have been?
No,
they're not, are they?
Yeah,
I think Leinster will tighten up. I think Munster are a little bit weak.
Glasgow Connacht could now be the game of the weekend.
I think Glasgow Connacht probably deserves to be our game of the weekend now, such as the former Connacht.
Yeah,
and Glasgow to be fair.
Yeah, Glasgow very good as well.
Terrible kit matchup though, isn't it?
Yeah, that's not the best.
Maybe the worst of all the kit matchups you could ever hope for.
Yeah. Not good. You'd have to go for Glasgow to edge that one.
At home.
At home.
Yeah, because they are the two unbeaten teams in the league.
Yeah. Mm. Would not have predicted that.
No.
And fair play to both sides.
Yeah, especially with both of them playing Leinster and both beating Leinster. Yep. So that is going to be a really good game.
The two other games on Friday night, Edinburgh Scarlets. I'll go for Edinburgh at home. Well, Scarlets had a good win.
I'll go for Scarlets.
I'd go for Edinburgh at home.
Leinster against Cardiff Blues. Cardiff looked pretty poor. Will Sam Warburton be allowed to play?
Who knows?
It's like, do you know, there was always a kid on the street that was a bit sad and lonely. And like, you know, you used to knock on and go, is so-and-so coming out to play? There was always a kid who wasn't allowed. Or, no, he's indoors. He's having
Gareth
his tea.
Gareth Shaw.
Was that
his
name?
I'm on my street, yeah. Everyone, it's come out. Great footballer. Yes. So, you're saying Sam Warburton's Gareth Shaw?
Yeah. His mum's saying he's got to do his homework and stuff like that. She's probably sitting in a cryogenic chamber somewhere, ice bathing. And what are they doing with him?
Who knows?
Is he just sat there with Warren Gatland? Just, I don't know. I'm imagining Warren Gatland like a, you know how Bond villains stroke a cat? He's just got Sam Warburton on his lap.
He strokes his open side flanker.
Yeah.
His 6'4" open side flanker.
Yeah.
Spinning around on a chair.
Maybe he just sits with him on his lap and just reads stories to him by the fire.
The Very Naughty Flanker by Neil Black. Back.
Leinster v Cardiff then. Leinster at home.
Yeah, Leinster all the way.
On to Saturday, Zebre Ulster. Ulster away. Munster Ospreys. Munster at home.
Yeah.
Ospreys.
You reckon?
Yeah.
You've been travelling across?
Yep. Hear me now, believe me later. Mm. That's happening.
And the Dragons against Treviso. Dragons.
Yep. Dragons, yeah. You'd imagine they'll have enough.
Now the real league. Let's find out what's going on there.
The Aviva Premiership matchups are as follows. There's no... Oh, there is a Friday night game. London Welsh v Gloucester.
Gloucester.
Yeah, Gloucester.
They need to win something, don't they?
Yeah, I think it will be Gloucester. I think we all think that. But I don't think they'll win by anywhere near the margin that the other teams have beaten Welsh by.
Who knows? I think.
Well, no, but Sale weren't good. Sale were not good, and they still put 44 on them. And the three of those tries were in the last 5 minutes.
Gloucester will be looking at this game to even out their record to lost 2-1-2. And I think they're going to have a lot of bruised egos. And they need to justify how much they're getting paid.
London Welsh have conceded 150 points.
That's impressive.
In three games.
In three games. That's really impressive. And they've got Tim Molinar and possibly Stegman out injured. I don't know.
Molinar? Oh, Christ.
Yeah, that's...
I think it's going to
get worse. What are they going to do without Molinar?
Gloucester comfortably then.
Saturday, Leicester, London Irish.
London Irish, the way they're playing, they could capitalise on Leicester's injuries.
This is an interesting one. Where is it?
Narraway looked good coming into the team, his first start at number eight. He had a bit of a dimension. That is a beefy back row, that. Trevor Anus, Narraway, who looks much bigger than he did in his old Gloucester days, and Blair Cowan. It's a pretty meaty...
I have no idea on this one.
Are Tuolangi and Allen out? We don't know. At the time of recording this podcast, we don't know.
Yeah, but are Tuolangi and Allen what they need? I mean, like I say...
Yes.
Well, no.
What a lot of teams need.
No, because they're missing all those front rowers.
Yeah, true.
You know, they're missing the second rowers. Let's concentrate on the things which are important, which is getting your pack right, and then you add your strike runners.
Yeah, true.
So even if they had those two, I think they'd have got smashed by Bath anyway. Well, Tim, you know a lot about London Irish. How do you reckon that their pack will go against Leicester?
They've got Orlika and Pace back in their front row, which makes a massive difference to the London Irish from this season to the London Irish of last season. I think they make a huge difference. Effectively, even though two of the players were there last season, they hardly played. They've got basically a brand new front row this year.
I'm going to put my neck on the line and say London Irish away at Leicester.
That would be one hell of a result.
I think it'll be close.
You got to pick one?
I think it'll be close. I'd just edge Leicester because they're at home.
I think Leicester will win, but I'd be tempted to put some money on London Irish because there will be quite long odds. I think
there would have been longer odds before Saturday.
Yes, but I think there'll still be long odds. I think you'll get some good value there.
Saracens against Sale.
Saracens at home.
They're not playing as well as they have done.
No, but they will assimilate Sale. It won't be a problem.
Yeah,
they'll do enough to get over the line.
Yeah, they will. They will definitely. Exeter Harlequins.
This would be a good game as
Exeter.
Well.
Exeter. Oh my God, this is such a hard week to pick.
Quins.
I'm going to say Quins. Exeter at home. Their teamwork will outdo Quins, and I think their pack will beat the Quins pack as well.
I think Quins are going to start going backwards quickly. They've got a fit squad and they're struggling. One or two injuries, they're going to really struggle.
There's a lot of chatter around Danny Cipriani. Will it be Wasps or will it be Quins? It will either be replacing Andy Goode or Nick Evans.
Nick Evans, really?
Well, I doubt much Andy Goode's going anywhere. Nick Evans might, though.
Well, Nick Evans sign like a 3-year deal just last season? It was very recently that he signed a long-term deal.
Andy Goode will last longer than Nick Evans. Just more talented.
This one's possibly a bit easier to call. Wasps, Newcastle.
Wasps all the way.
Wasps.
Hang on, right. We've not done... Gone.
Yeah, back to...
Pick of the weekend at Franklin's Gardens, 3:15 kickoff, Northampton Saints against Bath.
Oh, my God.
The meatiest of packs, the deadliest of back lines.
Both belong to Bath, by the way.
Well, it's the power of the Northampton's back line.
Yeah.
With Burrell and PC.
Burrell, PC, PC, North.
So let's break it down
again.
Let's go through the two lineups.
Yeah.
Like, again, we don't know exactly what the 15s will be, and pick between the players, and then we'll see how that pans out.
Okay, Corbisiero versus Paul James.
Corbisiero.
Hell no! What? Sorry, at what sport? Because it's not scrimmaging.
I'm going to vote for...
I'd go Corbs.
No chance!
I'm going to go for Paul James on his form.
Okay, so Paul James gets in this one. Hooker?
Weber.
Weber or Hartley?
Hartley. I'd say Hartley.
Although
I would have said Weber, but
yeah,
that's fine.
It's a tough one. I'd flip a coin on that.
Weber looked great in New Zealand, and he's looked great this season so far. But fine, Hartley in. Tight head prop.
Wilson versus Mar Afu.
Wilson.
Yeah.
I would have Wilson. His scrimmaging has been awesome.
Second row then. So you've got Laws and...
Christian Day has been playing there.
And you've got Atwood and Hooper.
Now, they do... different jobs. I think that's the problem here. Like, so Laws will be in that.
Atwood and Laws, surely.
Atwood and Laws, definitely.
You think I would go with those two. But
six.
Tom Wood. or
will he be fit?
And is he playing seven?
He didn't play today.
Well, yeah, it's they have Tom Wood and Callum Clark both playing like six and seven, and they're both a bit of both.
Yeah.
Well, I would pick Tom Wood ahead of Guy Mercer. So I'll go Wood open side, and
Ferns or Callum Clark.
Ferns at six.
Ferns for me.
Ferns, yeah.
Number eight, Manoah or Houston? I'll go Manoah.
I'd go Manoah.
Yeah, again, they fit into the individual teams quite well. It's hard to pick them against each other.
So there's four Bath players and four Northampton players in the pack.
Yeah. Wow.
Scrum half, Chris Cook, who he's been a great
Stringer.
Signing,
well, great Cook player. Looked really good.
Yeah, but Stringer is the more. Is
but
nah. Marshall.
Fotu Ali would beat anyone. Fotu Ali is the best of all.
I'd have gone for Dixon or Fotu Ali, whoever Northampton. So
those Northampton backups are dynamite.
We'll go for Fotu Ali for the time being. 10. There's no debate, is there? Even if Stephen Myler was fit,
so we're
George
going
Ford
Gavin Henson. Sorry, Henson for me.
George Ford has been the player of the season so far.
I'll put a little star next to his name as I'm writing it down.
Yeah. Definitely.
Oh, you put five stars there. We've and a heart.
Please, this awesome internationals are all about finding out if George Ford's got it. He looks to have it.
Yes.
Come, Stuart, do the job. Do it. Do
so
it.
Inside centre, got to be Eastmond, right?
Inside centre.
Or Burrell.
Big Luth.
It's England.
Eastmond for me.
Depends what you want, doesn't it?
Again.
Who would the 13 be? Jonathan Joseph is injured. We probably
do you want to run around or through?
Well, Joseph or PC. It depends if you go for skill and guile. Or power.
I'd probably go for, if I was picking, Big Luth and Jonathan Joseph. But I think Jonathan Joseph will be injured looking at the way he limped off.
Mm-hmm. Aceman for me.
Big Luth's hands are his biggest weakness.
Aceman's like a second distributor as well. And his feet are so quick.
Come on, Phil.
I'd probably go for Eastman and George Peasy to have the little and large.
Yeah, I'd quite
should we just say it's a stalemate in the centre?
Of one each.
Don't really care.
We say one Bath, one Northampton.
Okay, so Banahan versus North. That's where you're going, boys.
George North.
Big George is in. And, and Rocco's
a Goonie.
Rocco and Goonie's on the other side.
Rocco.
Fullback.
Who was fullback?
Well,
Arscott.
Foden played today.
Watson.
Oh, Wilson has been playing superb for
Northampton.
Oh, Watson's another injured player we didn't mention earlier.
Yeah, Anthony Watson, yeah. Northampton on this.
I'd go Northampton. I'd go Ben Foden.
Foden. Four Northampton, three Bath.
Four Northampton, three Bath.
In the back line.
But Anthony Watson wasn't in the reckoning with that one.
Yeah.
And he could have gotten up fullback potentially.
So it's 8-7 across the team.
Oh, this is some game.
It's going to be.
I'm going to go with Franklin's Gardens being the 16th man and give him that.
What do I do? I'm going to go with Bath. I think they're looking imperious.
They're looking absolutely superb. I think last season, if it wasn't for a couple of injuries, they could have won the league last season. I think I'm going to say Bath.
Bath, who are also my pick to win the whole thing at the start of the season, if you what the record said.
Bring it on. Well, there we go.
And there's rugby championship this weekend.
Oh, God, yeah, I love it. This is just rugby. I can't take this much rugby. Spread it out.
How about weekday matches for, like, the championship? So we can watch a championship after work and then save the good stuff up.
Well,
yes.
The rugby championship is now. They're playing the games in South Africa and Argentina, so we've got a late afternoon kickoff, South Africa.
And a back from the pub kickoff.
Night time, 11 p.m.
So we don't just have to watch Match of the Day. We can stay up and watch proper
Argentina,
rugby.
New Zealand.
Oh, and here's me thinking you meant the Rugby Championship, as in
the Green King IPA Championship.
The IPA Championship.
We mean the worst name competition in the world, the Quad Nations or whatever we. Think.
Yeah, Southern Hemisphere International Tournament.
Yeah,
an annual tournament.
South Africa, Australia. I'll go South Africa at home.
Yes, I think so. I hope they can get some kind of game plan together because it's not been looking great for them recently.
No, Sappers for me.
And I don't think Argentina will stop the steamroller of New Zealand wagons rolling even though they're at home.
No, but the following week's game when they play Australia at home, they could be on course to record their first victory in the Rugby Championship.
I hope so. Good luck, boys.
Well, that's it from us. We'll see you next time on the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you hit that little subscribe button, if you're on iTunes, then we'll make sure the next one comes straight to you. And in the meantime, if you could take a couple of minutes of your time to leave us a little rating and a bit of feedback to help us make the podcast more how you want it or less
help
how you want it.
Help us make more money, please.
Well, I
knew that was annoying.
We don't make a penny. That's the point.
What? We've got a new car from this podcast.
We've got no way. We've got absolutely no
Look
way.
Look at this Rolex. This isn't free.
We've got
pay me.
We've got no way of telling of spreading the word of the brilliant podcast that we have without word of mouth. And one of the ways we can do that is by getting it further up the iTunes chart, and just by taking a second to hit the rating, leave a little comment. It does that. So really, really appreciate it. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you again. Nice one, JB.
Bye. Bye, Tim. Sorry.
And Phil.
Cheers, Tim.
And nice one, Pedder, for joining us.
Great watching skills.
Thanks, guys.
Good watching skills. And thanks for not having a dig at my weedy arms this time. Appreciate it. In a bit.
Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.